Hey guys.
Amber and Kendall here, back at you again.
Because we are living life legit, especially today, because Kendall and I are sitting here recording on the happiest of days, the Resurrection Day.
That's right. It's the day that Jesus came back to life and proved to everybody that he is the Son of God.
Said, told you.
Yep.
He didn't say it like that.
He didn't. There's all those really funny memes that are like, YOLO, JK, I'll be back.
BRB.
Yeah. But did you go to church today?
I did not.
Did you watch it online?
I'm watching it this evening with my betrothed.
Nice. You're not betrothed yet. Is that that? Betrothed before
betrothed
or after?
Betrothed is before.
Oh, well, then you are betrothed.
I know. Read a lot. I know things.
We had had a bunch of people come to church today. They're excited. There was
well, of course,
13 of us all together.
Of course you did, because as my pastor likes to say, there's a lot of Christers.
Oh, yeah.
Christmas and Easter.
Yes.
Attendees.
Yes.
So you see them on the birth and the death.
Wow.
Pretty much.
Yeah, there were so many that we had two services today. We usually only have one. We had two specifically.
My pastor always likes to say, he's like, when it's either Christmas or Easter, he's like, hey guys, we're here every Sunday.
Right.
Every Sunday we're here.
Like, we are, our doors are open all the time.
So, come on.
That's funny. So, yes, Resurrection Sunday. Thank God.
Praise the God.
Yes. So, Amber and I are going to start off our deep-ish dive into Abraham.
Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them.
And so are you. So, let's just praise the Lord.
What is
you? Doing? It's like right arm, left arm. It's really weird. I don't understand it.
Okay. There's a whole dance if you guys went to VBS or a
Awana. There is. What's the one where you put your arm in and then you put your arm out? Okay. The hokey pokey.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, it's been a while since I've done that. The hokey pokey.
That's what it's all about. And I can't believe you forgot.
Well, that's what I remember. That's what it reminds me of, I guess. So we're going to talk about Abraham.
And why is he important, Ken?
He is important because he is the father of our nation.
Of many nations.
Many nations. So Amber did the math.
I did. He's actually a 10th generation descendant of our dear friend Noah.
He is.
He is the great, 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 great grandson of Noah.
He is. So, in reading, of course, we don't really know much about his parents.
We really don't. There's a lot of people in the Bible, a lot of names that are really hard to pronounce.
Sorry, we talked about that for a hot second.
I joked around with Kendall. I was like, you never find like a Steve or Alex.
No, but it's like I told you, it's funny that out of all of the names in the Bible, how Jesus found 12 people with relatively decent names: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John,
Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians.
No. Simon, Peter, it's funny that you go through Shem.
Well, I mean,
Nebuchadnezzar.
For all the future moms out there, if you're not bringing Nebuchadnezzar back, I don't know what to tell you.
Or Nahor, or Haran, or Terah.
Terah.
Which I'm sure
we're probably butchering these names. I mean, obviously.
Or Lot. I would love to see a Lot.
Or what's the one? It's Shem's son, Arpachshad. Arpachshad.
Peleg.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of fun
names in the Bible that I'm pretty sure
Eber.
I'm not even remotely close to pronouncing correctly.
Serug. There's lots.
Mm-hmm.
She'll look up some of those meanings and see what they mean.
Iska.
So anyway.
So Kendall and I we're just going to give you the forewarning right now. Please, we have not been to seminary, so we did not have the practice of pronouncing these names.
No.
And some of them, just like the town of Ai.
Yeah.
It's literally spelled A-I,
yep.
But I keep wanting to say I.
Yeah, that's how, when I read the Bible for the first time, that's how I said it, too, because
I... Because you're like, I. But
nope,
A-I.
A-I, it is. So we started off with, I mean, Genesis, and I don't think a lot of people really realize how much really happens in Genesis.
There's a lot of story.
Like, we were talking about Abraham. Okay, maybe he's like a few books into the Bible. No, he's in the very first book of the Bible.
Yeah.
Because there's just a lot.
There's so many of the stories that happen that you're like, it's got to be its own book. Right?
No, yes,
it's not.
No.
It's all in Genesis.
It is. So, and he is very first mentioned in Genesis chapter 11. I think verse 26 is when they mention his name for the first time.
26. If you want to go through all the names that Kendall and I can't pronounce, it starts at chapter 11, verse 10.
Yes.
Where you learn the 9 descendants
yes.
before.
But so we mentioned, and that's where we learn about who his father is. Doesn't say who his mom is. It talks about his brothers, really just about their names. There's really not a lot of detail.
And I wish there was, because everybody's having kids when they're like 70, mm-hmm. 80. I'm kind of like, what were you guys doing for the first 70 years?
Hanging out, enjoying life.
I mean, what's happening that it's... I mean, Tate Abram's father, Terah, lived 70 years and fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So those are his siblings. Mm-hmm. And we will learn about Haran because he's the father of Lot.
Yes. And Lot, eventually, as we keep going, will play a little bit of a big role in Abram's life. I think it's funny, too, that out of everybody, Lot is the one that sojourns with Abram for so long.
Why?
Because they had, I mean, his brothers had other kids. It's not like it was his only nephew.
It's interesting. You know what? Maybe they just didn't have as interesting stories as Lot.
It could be. I'm sure, though,
too. Because Nahor dies. Why his father, Tahor, is still alive, which apparently is not a... Or Terah, sorry, not Tahor. Terah is still alive. So apparently that wasn't like a big thing. It's typically you lived your 150 years and then your kids live there 150, you know, so you're one of a lot of kids dying before.
Well, and I'm sure if we had gone to seminary, we would probably learn a little bit more about each of them, too. So this is just our abbreviated version.
So at the end of chapter 11, we learn that Terah takes Abram, his grandson Lot, and Abram's wife Sarah, and they start heading towards Canaan.
Canaan.
Why can't I say it?
Because I don't know.
Canaan.
I always think about how they pronounce it. It's the Canaanites. It's not the Canaanites.
Okay. Canaan. But for some reason, when they get to Haran, they settle there. And then he lives a whopping 205 years old, Terah does. 205, guys.
I couldn't imagine. Could you imagine living that long, though? Like, could you really?
I really could. I would love to time travel. But I would love to live that long. See, like, all the stuff that happens. But, I mean, now knowing that I feel the way I do at 40, how does your body stay? Like,
well, they don't have all the processed crap that we do now.
I don't even know if it's that. That's a long time. Even if you're eating all the right foods, that's a long time.
It is.
So then we get to chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, go from your land, your relatives, and your father's house, and to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Can you just imagine if God came to you and he's like, hey, I need you to go ahead and pick up and leave because I'm going to make a great nation out of you. So, and by the way, I'm going to curse anybody that contempts, you know, treats you with contempt. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. Who's going to say, I'm not your guy? And keep in mind, he's saying this, and Abram is 75.
Right. No children, no nothing
yet. And he just said, I'm going to make a great nation of you, but he has no offspring. Yep. So, like, his wife, Sarah, we already know is barren. She is unable to have children. So Abram, he's still Abram at the time. Abram says, okay. So he packs up all of his stuff. He packs up Sarah. He's like, Lot, come on, let's go. I don't know if I'm going to go ahead and tell you. God told me we got to leave.
Right.
And they start heading out.
They do. And they leave with all of his possessions, his wife, and Lot. So he also, where is it that they stop Amber when he builds?
So when they're setting out, they're going to approach the land of Canaan.
There you go.
But Abram passed through the land to the site of Shechem. I really think that's how it's pronounced. And the Lord... At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. So, you know, I mean, granted, God was like, hey, this is going to be your land, but it's kind of occupied at the time. So,
but I also want to take note, too, when you think about it, they don't even get into that land until, I mean, it's not technically theirs until after
many years.
Moses.
Yeah, Moses gets there. And I think this is a good part to point out. Why is the story of Abraham so important? Because remember, we talk constantly about how we pray for things. Mm-hmm. And then we also talk about the promises of God, but we're an evil nation, an evil peoples that we like instant gratification. We're used to instant gratification.
Right.
This is God's testament to, he keeps his promises, but your time clock is not God's time clock.
Correct. Because Abraham goes through a lot.
So we go from the promise to Abraham all the way through Moses. And then we have some issues along the way, which when we talk about Moses, we'll get to. But that's a long earthly time. So the Lord says to him, so guess this is the second time, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So he moves from the hill country east of Bethel, and then that's where he pitches his tent. And that's when we know Bethel's on the west and Ai on the east.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go.
So there was a great famine going on. So Abram and Sarah, they sojourned to Egypt. And when they're going to Egypt, Abram knows that his wife is very, very, very beautiful. So he basically tells her, we're going to lie and say that you're my sister so that they don't kill me for you. So he does. They lie. And then the Pharaoh sees how beautiful Sarah is and decides to take her as his wife.
Which, like I told you, I picture God, and I know everybody's seen the meme of the little schoolboy with the little contemptuous face that's like, That's God right now. Like, I imagine that's his face up. Are you kidding me? Really? Because this is, quote unquote, Abram's sister.
Right.
The Pharaoh lavishes slaves upon him, cows, donkeys,
goods, all gold, kinds of silver,
stuff, everything. Like, lavishing all this gold on him until God says, yeah, I'm going to show you. So he plagues the Pharaoh's house.
He does.
And then the Pharaoh's like, say, man, I can't believe that you told me this was your sister. Now look at what mess I'm in. And he's so angry and just wants to be done with, like, he doesn't even take all the stuff back. He's like, take it all. Get out of my sight. Like, so I don't know what plagues were happening. I mean, we learn in Moses what kind of plagues we have going on.
Oh, yeah.
But I just can imagine whatever these plagues were that the Pharaoh's like, take it and leave. Like, just get out. And so they leave.
Well, and I do think that the reason he doesn't strip Abram of all of his goods and stuff is...
he's scared.
Oh, yeah.
Scared of God.
You've plagued me for taking somebody that I didn't know belonged to another man.
He basically punished the Pharaoh because Abram lied and he just happened to believe the lie.
Yep. So you're right. He's like...
but then part of me gets angry about that too because I'm thinking, you just handed over your wife...
I know, I don't, and then accept all the goods and stuff.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh yeah, totally cool, but you don't mind that this guy is like betting your wife.
I don't know.
Women's rights, am I right, ladies?
There's parts in Abraham's story when we get to it that I'm like, is this real life? Like, is this really what's happening?
It's like a soap opera.
I wouldn't have wanted to be a woman in that time, that's for sure.
It's a Hebrew soap opera. That's what we're watching right now.
So then they leave and they go to Negev, to the tent and the altar that he had already previously built. And then they'd spent so much time there. Abram and Lot eventually have such great flocks and herds that the land can no longer sustain the both of them with all of their stuff.
Imagine that being your biggest problem at the time. Right. Like, oh my gosh, we have so many flocks, so much money, so much. Like, this, literally, this town isn't big enough for the two of us.
Literally.
Like, that's our big problem right now is we're so enormously wealthy, the both of us, that we can't even both stay here. Like, the land cannot sustain both of us.
So they both decide amicably that they need to split. Lot goes to the east toward the Valley of Jordan and sets up tents as far as Sodom. And then Abram, he settles.
That town sounds familiar. We're going to get there.
Yes, we are going to get to Sodom. Abram then settles in Canaan.
So he does promise again. Now, here we hear this promise again, because it's actually the third time now that we're going to hear it. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth so that anyone could count the dust of the earth, then your offspring could be counted. Get up and walk around the land through its length and width, for I will give it to you. So third time now, he's like, hey, all your offspring. And again, remember, he's an old man at this time and he does not have any offspring. And he's well aware that his wife's barren.
Could you imagine, though, being told, too, that you were going to have so many descendants that nobody could count them?
Me, personally, I'd be like, ooh, yikes. But he just keeps promising how it's going to be a great nation.
Yeah.
And I think everybody needs to realize why this is so important is because our dear friend Jesus comes from the line.
Yes.
Like, this is where Jesus's line will come from, the line of Judah, which is why we call him the Lion of Judah. Yep. Just in case you guys want to know. That's a little tidbit beforehand.
A little tidbit.
Yeah.
So after God promises that again to Abram, he moves his tent to the oaks of, I say Mamre. It's M-A-M-R-E. Amber makes fun of me. I don't know what it is. In Hebron, and builds another altar to the Lord.
He built a lot of altars.
He does. Basically almost everywhere that he pitches a tent.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
So then we move on to chapter 14. And there are wars all over the place. And Amber, I'm sure, would love to read you the names of all the kings.
It's not really wars all over. It's like five kings against four kings and kind of the same general land. So let's see. King of Shinar, King of Elasar, king of Elam and king of Goim are waging a war against the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim.
You did really good.
Pretty sure that that was spot on, guys. That was amazing. As well as the king of Bela. So it's four kings going up against these five kings. So they're fighting, you know how men do.
They are.
The four kings actually capture and they take everything. They took all the goods from Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food, their people. So pretty much they capture Sodom and Gomorrah.
And Lot and all of his possessions and all of his people were taken captive.
They do take Lot and his peoples.
So then a man, one of the survivors of this, came and found Abram and told Abram about Lot. And then Abram sends 318 trained men out to get his nephew back. Mm-hmm. And those 318 slaughtered.
Yeah, they go by night, defeat them. And Abram brings back all the goods. He brings back Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the other people. Mm-hmm. So he's taking them all back. So after Abraham returned from defeating these kings and getting all their stuff back, the king of Sodom goes out to meet him.
In Salem.
Yes, in the king of Salem. And they bring out bread and wine, and they pretty much say, like, hey, this guy is legit.
Mm-hmm.
He is blessed by the God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High. So they handed over your enemies to you. So they see how Abram and his men kick some butt, and they were like, this has to be by the hand of God, which...
Right. Your kingdoms were taken down by other kings, and this man sends out 318 men. And
this man's like, I really need my nephew back, because I don't know if you know this, but God told me that my offspring are going to be...
Right.
Be so plentiful that people can't count them. So I at least need my nephew back. I don't know how this is all going to work yet. So I'm going to need him back. So the king of Sodom, he asks Abram to give him the people, but take the possessions for yourself. And Abram says, I don't think so. He took an oath to the Lord and said that he's not going to take even a thread or sandal strap or anything that belongs to the kings. So you can never say that I made Abram rich. So he's like, basically, in my opinion, he's saying, I don't want your dirty money. Because at the time, Sodom and Gomorrah were very evil cities.
Yeah.
They were not worshiping the Lord as they were supposed to be. Mm-hmm. They're very sinful cities at the time. So he takes nothing except what the servants have eaten. So his people, he's like, you know, my people needed to be fed. So that's all we're going to take from you. And his share of the men. And that they can take their share. And then that's it. So Abram takes nothing but his people back.
Right.
That's it.
So, yeah.
And that leads us to the end of chapter 14.
Yep. And that's where we're going to end this episode, too. So it's probably going to be a couple of episodes because there is a lot to go into it. But this is just a pretty quick intro into Abraham.
Currently Abram. He does not have his new name yet.
He does not.
So join us again for some more on Father Abraham.
Had many sons.
Many sons to Father Abraham. If you guys want to tell us how the dance goes, I mean, Kendall and I could YouTube it, but we'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah. You can follow us on Instagram at living_life_legit. You can also email us at livinglifelegit7@gmail.com. Anyway, if y'all have questions or prayer requests or anything, reach out to us. Let us know that you're out there and not bots.
Or do we have a lot of bots?
I don't think so, but you never know.
No bots.
No bots. Real people.
Yeah. We do have a lot of followers in Germany.
We do.
I don't know if that's maybe some ancestors from mom's side that we're not aware of, but.
Could be. They're like, oh, we know these women.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So anyway, hope you guys had a great Easter.
Yes.
Fantastic Easter. Looking forward to spring. Not so much summer. And we'll see you guys next time.
And remember,
Jesus loves the sinner.
Jesus loves the sinner.
Bye.